welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Okay, guys, here we are. Welcome to the first of the episodes for the summer series. This is Nicole Sachs on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network, and we are beginning our adventure together today. Okay, well, I've been getting very excited for this summer series. I've been doing the research for the software to capture your stories and questions and reflections on your lives, and I think you're going to be really psyched with how easy it is to do. So if you didn't hear my most recent intro, my podcast from last week, the plan is to gather your stories, not just so I can bring some of you guys onto the podcast and answer your direct questions, which I will be doing, but also to make sure that when we launch our new fall format, we have content that resonates with all of you guys. We're just gathering it up, and I'm really, really so excited to hear from you. So stay tuned for all the information about that at the end of the episode. But today, before we do that, I want to talk about mindset and getting ourselves ready for this summer. And, you know, when I say summer, I know it's not really official summer for everyone. I'm talking to people all over the world. But let's use this time, this next few months together, to gather ourselves for what's next. So I'm going to use the word summer, but I want you to have the energy of what's next. I want to share something that's been going on for me. So we can invite you to share in your minds what's going on for you as we embark upon whatever this summer brings. You know, the concept of summer for me, or whatever's next, it can be deceptive because for me, it has always been meant to shift us into a different mode of being, like something better, something more relaxing. I have very positive associations with summer. I don't know about you guys, but like I see it as like I can slow down. I can relax. I can get away from maybe my routine and my schedule. You know, in at least where I live in the United States, the weather gets warmer. People have a more chill way of being. And so I tend to fall into the very dangerous E word, which is expectations. Expectations for the summer. And anybody who has been following my work knows that I love to quote William Shakespeare. Expectation is the root of all heartache. And I don't want to always paint it with a negative broad brush, but you know, it's we have to stay awake. We have to stay awake when we're looking at preparing for whatever's next, being in whatever's next, and expectations. So I think anytime we have expectations, either positive expectations, like my excitement for the summer and whatever it brings, or even negative expectations, you know, kind of dread. I don't know if summer for you means you're overwhelmed and your kids are out of school and, you know, yes, the routine is off, but that's stressful for you. So whatever expectations we're setting, it creates a tension between what is and what will be. You know, we have to be able to live within our real lives. We have to have a relationship with reality versus a relationship with the control and tension and stress in our own minds, whether that be stress because we need something to be good or we're going to die, or stress where we're pre-grieving what it might be. So I feel like I want to set our mindset right now as we begin this summer series with reality. Okay. So not just expectations that we could let our brain run wild, but let's get centered in what is and how we can stay awake and be present and give ourselves the best chance of ease and comfort as we move through this. So I don't know if you guys have paid attention to how much I've been quoting over the last, let's say, year and a half about Buddhism and Hinduism and Ram Dass and all the stuff I studied over COVID. But, you know, Buddhist philosophy does tell us that all desire, clinging, is the root of suffering. Desire to control anything that happens. So I really like to pay attention to that because it really resonates for me that when we cling to that which we want to hold on to, or when we need something to kind of go away from us and not be part of our experience, that's when we suffer. And our whole job here together, yours and mine and our partnership, is to reduce our suffering as much as possible so we can be present for that which brings us joy and connection in our lives. So that's what we're doing today. So let's talk a little bit about the past year or two or three. Let's see. So right now I'm recording this in June of 2022. So we are rounding out 2.5 years of a global pandemic and whatever that encapsulated for you. For me, it was really rough. And I know that I took a while to actually share about this because I wanted to just feel really settled about it. But I think you guys know that I went through a divorce in COVID and brought my family through that divorce, my children, and it was really hard. It was really hard. I did it, and I feel incredibly grateful that I stayed awake and I walked through that, you know, with breathing, left foot, right foot, breathe, like I tell you guys. But, you know, that happened to me. And as of the last few months of my life, I've had some really positive, joyful experiences in my life that brought in a tremendous amount of expansiveness and possibility. So all of that is happening for me right now. And I cannot wait to hear, and we'll talk about it at the end of the episode, how I can hear from you, from your experiences, because it's so awesome that we're all going to be together. So in terms of my experience, summer, this particular summer actually, because all I can do is live in the moment, has taken on a special significance because I know exactly what I want it to be. I've planned it. I can see it. I feel like I've earned it with all the hard times and then this more exciting times. And so here's the problem, or let's not call it a problem. Here's the challenge in front of us. Sometimes when you combine deserving and wanting with the vision of what you want, you can tend to get an expectation and it can be fraught. So we're going to talk about that because I really feel like within that, we can find a lot of space to bring to calm it down and bring peace. And so I'm going to tell you what happened to me. So here's the thing. Anytime you've hung hope and expectation on something, there's anxiety. And I am an anxious person. Anxiety has been a thread through my entire life. It's been my TMS from when I was a young child. You know, I had horrible insomnia, which is why I think it's so funny because I've always had sleep issues that my whole message to you guys all the time is we need to stay awake. We need to stay awake. But staying awake is also, the metaphor of staying awake is also to me where everything healing resides. Because I want you guys and I want myself to be aware and awake to why things are really happening. So there is anxiety when you've hung hope and expectation on something. And the anxiety can threaten to upend the plan because what we really want is for things to go smoothly. And so here's a little thing that happened to me that I want to share with you. So I have a lot of travel planned this summer, which I mentioned last week on the intro. And one of the things that happens when we plan any travel for a person like myself who has responsibilities in my life for other people, other little people who are not so little anymore for me, is that I am concerned about everyone. I want to take care of everyone. I want everyone to be okay. And those of you who have been following my podcast over the last year and a half know that last summer, I had a really challenging time with my son. Well, my son had the challenging time, and I, as a mother, had to walk through that with him, which was really hard. He went through some personal stuff in his life, which led to pretty significant anxiety and depression, and I was really worried about him, really worried. And from a young age, Oliver has also had a tough time with transitions. Even when he was, you know, like really little, and then as he got older, transition from school to winter break, or, you know, going on a trip, or certainly end of year into summer, he gets angsty. He gets anxious and nervous. And so that was definitely part of last summer, but last summer was a real low point. He really struggled to the point where, you know, I was very concerned about his well-being. I'm not going to overshare about it, but you guys can envision what it's like with a 16-year-old teenager and me being really, truly worried and it being like a day in and day out situation with him talking to me. And thank God he spoke to me and opened up to me. And this is how he's been raised, but, you know, still really stressful. So he came out of that over the year. He had a fantastic junior year. I'm so proud of him. He did really well in school and he made great social connections. But, you know, the PTSD in me lives on. So what I think I want to say about this in terms of anxiety, in terms of our relationship with reality versus our relationship with the story that can be told over and over in our own human minds, is that my PTSD over what happened last summer as I started to plan this summer trip started to take hold of me. And my anxious brain, without pausing and staying awake to the situation, started to anticipate that this summer is going to be exactly the same as last summer. And so I was pre-grieving and I was getting a little panicked that all the travel that I need to do this summer, even though he's approaching 18 and he has his own car and he has a job and his dad will be around, I was worried like he's not going to be okay. And he's also legitimately going through this struggle he has with transition. So he's been like a little off, nothing like last summer, but definitely it was concerning me. So just hold, put a pin in that for a moment and know that is was happening. And another thing I need to share with you, just because I want you guys to know the whole story, and I feel like you guys as a community deserve to be in the loop about this. Blue Dog, my baby Blue, who I have shared so much about and who you guys watched go through two surgeries over the past year and a half and who you guys have seen on videos and as part of my online course and on my Instagram constantly, he was diagnosed with cancer about, I think it's 2 or 3 months ago. It's a very, very aggressive form of cancer that there was no treatment that wasn't ridiculously invasive and would have basically ruined his life the moment we began. And so we made a decision as a family that we were going to let him live out his remaining time with joy and with peace and as a happy guy. And so anyway, I speak to you this week, and I think within the next week and a half, 2 weeks, we will have to put him down. And it's been really a hugely emotional time for myself and my kids. And I need to mention that because it all goes together. It all goes together. First of all, I need to mention that because I want you to know, but it all goes together for where my mind is at right now. So put a pin in that as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but I just wanted you to know. So what I want to say about all this stuff that's going on, all this stuff that is both confusing and triggering and also full of joy with the anticipation of the summer and also full of grief with Blue Dog, is that this is human life. Here we are, guys, right? This is our human lives. We are here to live them, and they are so full. They are so full of expansiveness and joy, and they are so full of grief and mourning and everything in between, and connection and beauty, connection with my beautiful boy who comes into my room and shares with me how low he's feeling, but knowing in those moments that what a gift that he wants to talk to me at all. So all of this is what makes up our complex human experience. So how can we find peace, and how can we know that our behavior within these big emotional times can be leading to what we really want? Because what we really want is for everything to be okay. You know, I mean, I don't want to be reductive about it, but honestly, guys, can we really say it more simply than that? We just want everything to be okay. I want to be able to love this dog who's laying at my feet right now till his last moment. I want to be able to connect with my son. I want to be able to anticipate my summer. I want to be able to mourn my divorce. I want all of it. And I want all of it for you. But I want to know that within those huge, big feelings, I can still stay awake and do the next right considered action so that my life continues to improve and grow, so that I keep pain and anxiety and conflict from sticking inside my body. You know, that's our goal here. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about how to live in these big feelings and how to know that I'm walking through them with grace and with consciousness and with awareness and staying awake. So here's what I was thinking about, and I mentioned it a little bit last week, the concept of allow, name, and release. I want to remind you guys, because I've talked about this before, that anxiety and excitement are experienced exactly the same in the physical body. They create the same changes in respiration, the same changes in circulation, the same changes in heart rate, the same changes in metabolism and digestion. This is a medical fact. And so because anxiety and excitement are experienced the same, the only way we know if we're excited or anxious about something is our conscious perception of the situation. So just reminding you guys of that, keeping that in your mind so that when you experience whatever you're experiencing now or in the course of the summer, as we spend the summer together, you can sort of come back to that and maybe it can bring you a little bit of comfort when you're feeling super anxious. I often do this. I try to reframe the situation where I'm in a moment of real anxiety, feeling it course through my body and say, yeah, but when this feeling is paired with a perception of excitement, I'm not scared. In fact, I'm exhilarated. So just keep that perspective in mind. So when we talk about allow, name, and release, the real goal of allow, name, and release is to keep us awake when all of these things happen, these examples that I'm giving you today. Allowing ourselves to not get stuck by holding too tightly to the way we need things to work out, because that creates more anxiety. And whether that means clinging to a positive narrative, you know, I need this summer to be good. I need relief from my COVID experience and my divorce. I need to feel free. I need to not worry about Oliver, right? So there could be that. Or there could be resisting a negative one, which is I cannot bear to think about this, my dog. And guys, listen, in this moment that I speak to you, I can't bear it, but I know I will. And I'm staying awake. Because when we're not clinging to the positive narrative or resisting the negative one, we are allowing in the message that we really need, the freedom, the space to make the next right considered action over and over again, and to live in the magic of what actually is. And sometimes it's not going to feel like magic, guys. Sometimes it's going to feel like a real freaking drag, but there is magic in the moments, even when you can't see them, because our hardest moments are our bridge to our peace. So I want to talk a little bit about that bridge, because to me, staying awake and knowing that our hardest moments are our bridge into what is that will create our joy and our peace and our connection is to me the definition of faith. Faith, we can define faith all different ways, but for the purposes of today, let's define faith as the knowing, the deep, peaceful, quiet space that we can grab moments of within us, knowing that everything is going to be okay. It's going to work out, and it's going to work out to the greatest effect for everyone involved. Staying awake enables us to open ourselves to faith, which is knowing that putting one foot in front of the other, our next right considered action, we're always building a bridge to where we're meant to go. Okay, so if we want to live in faith rather than in expectation, that's the, first of all, it's the most optimal place where nothing gets trapped in our body, because that's the allowing. And then the naming is our journal speak practice, which we're going to always talk a lot about, and we will throughout the summer, of pausing and of making sure that we are not bypassing the need to name all these things. So in my little story, naming that would be, I'm really scared of what Oliver might feel and me having to travel this summer, and not only having to travel, wanting to travel and wanting to be free in experiencing the things that I need to experience and want to. Also naming that I fucking hate this. I hate being a mother sometimes. I hate having to worry about other people and love them so much that it makes my insides twist. I'm allowed to hate it while I love it. I'm allowed to resent it while I embrace it. I'm allowed to glory in the fact that he's dying to tell me everything and want to crawl up into a ball and just be left alone. I'm allowed to have all those experiences at the same time, and so are you. And that's naming it. And that's not being afraid of our experiences and our being here and being alive. Because when we deny those uglier parts, that's when our emotions need to be repressed. And when our emotions need to be repressed, that's when it has to be felt somewhere. And it gets felt in our bodies. And it gets stuck as fibromyalgia and migraines and back pain and irritable bowel and pelvic pain and skin disorders and all the different ailments of the body and anxiety and depression and fatigue. And I can go on and on. So when we let our faith guide us rather than our expectation, nothing gets trapped in our bodies either. And then we are opened to mindfully and without panic and without control, doing the next right considered action and opening ourselves to the natural progression of life. I can't control everything. Just because I make as much as I can the best parenting decisions for Oliver, that doesn't create his experience. It opens space. It holds space for him to have his own experience. So here's the little punchline of the story that was kind of a beautiful moment that happened to me yesterday. So I'm here within all this PTSD of last summer. I'm here within this expectation of summer and wanting it to be a certain way. And I am having a block. And to name it, I'm annoyed by this block because all I want is what I want, which is to have a summer and have him be okay. But I'm not acting annoyed. I'm naming it in my journal speak, so I'm aware. Because I don't want it to get stuck and I want to be able to release it. But I am I'm having that experience of stuckness, and now I'm doing. But I'm staying awake, and I know that my hard moments, my annoyance, is the bridge to what's next. So I'm doing the next right considered action, which I'm making sure he is scaffolded. He has the support he needs. He has plans with his dad. He knows he's going to have enough money. I'm teaching him to do the things he needs to do around the house. So I'm doing the next right considered action. I'm not getting caught up in my own angst. I'm not snapping at him and damaging our relationship as much as possible. And here's what happened. Yesterday, I was standing in my kitchen once again, saying another thing, mommying him a little bit. And he looks at me and he goes, with such peace. I caught his eye and he said, "You know I'm going to be okay, right?" And oh my God, you guys, that was a moment because it came from him, the boy who last summer laid in my bed and said, "I'm not okay. I'm really scared, Mom." 1 year later, within the space of so many of my next right considered actions, my son looked at me without being asked and said, almost with some condescension, which was great, "You know I'm going to be okay, right?" So what does that tell us about my definition of faith? For me, it says that if we can reframe our anxiety into knowing that if we can stay awake, if we can keep pausing and do the next right considered action, that everything that's happening is what needs to happen, leading to everything's going to be okay. I never could have predicted last summer that he could look at me with that kind of confidence and say that. And there we land. And that's what I want. I want us to stay awake. I want us to build our own definitions of faith. And faith is built not from wanting it and not from thinking about it. Faith is built on action, because all the actions I did between last summer and this summer, all the little bits of being there for him and all the little bits of stepping away and letting him be there for himself are what led to that moment. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope it's going to be great. And you know what? There'll be challenges too, I'm sure. And there'll be times where I feel guilty. And there will be times I'm FaceTiming him and I'm like, oh God, I should really be there. But you know what? It's okay. Because we all deserve our lives and our experiences, and we've earned them. I want you to remember that. I want you to take that into your little experience right now. And I want you to think of some place that you've earned your beautiful moments, your freedom, your ability to press pause and tap out. You've earned that. Don't take that away from yourself. Okay. So the last thing I want to talk to you guys about is a little bit about another kind of faith and another kind of staying awake. And thank you for indulging me in my stories, because I'm adding this in a way for us to all say goodbye to blue together. So I was telling the story yesterday to someone I love, and she said to me, "Oh my God, Nicole, you have to put this on the podcast." And I never would have thought to do it, but I'm going to, because she's right. She's right. And you guys have walked this path of being alive with me for 3.5 years, and so much of it has been with him. So I want to tell you the story about how Blue was chosen 10 years ago. So Isabella was 9. Ooh, I got to get myself together for this. Isabella was 9. She finished up her first summer at camp. And I picked her up from camp, and I had all this planned already. And I said, "I have a surprise for you." And she was so cute. She was 9. And she said, "You're going to take me out to lunch?" And I said, "Better." I said, "I'm going to take you to choose our puppy, our dog of life. It is your choice." And oh my God, you can't see a child light up bigger than how she lit up that day. And so we drove to this meeting spot where I had picked a breeder. I knew I wanted a standard poodle because I grew up with a standard poodle in my childhood, and my mother grew up with a standard poodle in her childhood. So I knew I wanted this particular breed of dog, and I knew I wanted it a black poodle, same as my childhood. And so I met with this breeder, and she came with 10 different puppies, big, huge litter of puppies. I mean, I say 10, maybe it was 6, but it seemed like a lot of puppies. And she let them free in this field, and she said, "Spend time with them and choose one." And each dog had a different color collar, so you could identify the dog with the color of their collar. And there was one dog with like a royal blue, a darker blue collar, and one dog with a lighter blue, more of a teal color collar. And so we're playing with the puppies, and there was this dog that I thought was really cute. He had the dark blue collar on, and he was just like kind of rolling around with the other dogs, being super dog-like, jumping and playing. And I was just sort of obsessed with him, and I was sort of half paying attention to what Isabella was doing, but not really that closely. And so we had maybe 15 minutes with these dogs, maybe a little longer, and it was time to make a decision. And I said to her, "Let's take this one." And I wasn't trying to boss her or anything. I was just really in the moment. And I'm like, "He's so cute, right?" And she's like, "Yeah, he's so cute." Okay, let's take that one with the dark blue collar. Let's take him. And so she went to say goodbye to all the dogs that she wasn't going to take, being a 9-year-old, obviously. And then I realized as she was saying goodbye, there was one dog that continued to come over and sit with her, even though it was a really, really sunny day and it was hot and a lot of the dogs were sort of going over to this shaded tree and playing under that. Even though Isabella was standing in the sun and hot and maybe less comfortable, there was this dog that kept coming over to her. And oddly, he had puke on his butt. It was like there was the hair on his butt was a little flattened down because somebody had thrown up on him in the car. And Isabella came over to me. She said, "Mommy," and she was very serious. She's very serious as a 9-year-old could be. She said, "Mommy, I have to tell you something." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I went to say goodbye to that one with the barf on his butt because he kept sitting with me even when all the other dogs were playing. I went to say goodbye to him because we're going to take the other one. And we had a moment." And she said, "He looked into my eyes. And we had a moment." And she's like, "We have to take that one." And I was so happy because I had made it her decision. And even though I was a typical bossy controlling me who thought I knew best, she was given a task. She followed her little heart, and she knew it, and she was confident enough. You know, I had raised her confident enough to challenge me because I wasn't being bossy or anything, but like, I don't know. I like that. I love that she came over to me and said, "We need to take that one. We had a moment and I can't leave him here." So I said, of course, yes, we'll take him. And there he is, and there he has been for 10 years. A dog who has been by my side when things have been so hard, has been so fun and so connected and full of celebration when things have been easy, who has known intuitively, I mean, any of you dog people out there, who has known intuitively who needed support and help in a big family and would walk over and just put his head on the lap of anybody who needed him. And I have been a good owner to him, and he's been a wonderful, wonderful dog to me. And so as you say goodbye to him, you guys, and as I say goodbye to him, let's think about what it is to let go, what it is to release, what it is to allow and name and release all the things in our lives that have been challenging, have created confusion for us, but also have allowed us to stay awake and to pay attention. Like I paid attention in that field with Blue, knowing that he was the only dog we could have ever had because I was paying attention. I didn't override her moment. I allowed us to be there in that moment, to have a relationship with reality, instead of a relationship to whatever control that was swirling around in my own head. And how when we do that, when we make space and we live in that next right considered action, and we realize that our faith has brought us to the place where we see the proof that we used our hard moments as a bridge, we operated the next right considered action, and the faith is the proof that everything is okay. Because, you know, guys, even as I sit here with like struggling through that story, I know everything's okay. I know we had the best 10 years with him and that he's going to be okay and that we're going to be okay. I really have peace for that. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true. It's true. That's what happens when you follow this recipe for life. And I'm always a product of my product. I'm always following in my own life what I want for you guys. So without expectation, without over-scripting what might be in this summer, just take my hand and let's practice staying awake, allowing for whatever is coming for us, naming it and releasing it so that we're always present and able to see our lives unencumbered by our old stories with fresh eyes, with fresh eyes. To me, that is faith. Everything happens is a piece and a part of our unique puzzle, but we just have to be curious enough to recognize them. And I hope that that speaks to you as strongly as it speaks to me today. And I send you big love. Okay, so let's talk about how we can spend time together this summer. I've created an online platform. It's called SpeakPipe. Well, I haven't created it. I am utilizing it. I researched and found this one to be super, super easy. SpeakPipe. So all you need to do is go to www.speakpipe, and I'm going to spell it out, SpeakPipe.com/Nicole Sachs, my whole name, NicoleSachs. It requires zero technical ability. You go to that site, you're going to see a place where you can record a message from me. You need to put in your name and your email just in case I need to get in touch with you. And please indicate at the beginning of your message if I have permission to share it on air, because certain of these messages are going to be shared on air. And so let's make sure to tell me that. And what I want from you guys this week, just in general, we're going to start general. Some of the weeks I'm going to be asking you specifics, but in general, either ask me a question, tell me a story, or give me a reflection that helps me understand where I find you. There's an old social work adage, which is start where the client is at. And I want to start where you are at this summer. Excuse the incorrect English, because I hate that sentence because it ends with a preposition, but that's my stuff, not yours. I want to know where you are. I want to find you where you are. And so that's what I want from this week. I want you to click on that link. Oh, and by the way, the link will be in my Instagram bio. It will be in the resources page of my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. It will be posted in my Journal Speak community, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs on Facebook. It's a private group. If you're not a member, please come and join us. Such an incredibly supportive community. So the link will be everywhere that I have my stuff online. And also you could just go on your own browser to speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs, and you will also find it there. Tell me where I find you right now. Give me an idea of the landscape of your mind and heart and body so that we can start from there and we can get off on a wonderful start for next week. All right, my loves. And also remember, if you want to come and study with me this summer, My Omega retreat is August 7th through the 12th. Come join us. Come be with us. It's going to be an incredible week. All of that information to sign up is also on my website, or you can go to eomega.org and search my name. All right, guys, I send you big, big, big love. It's been so incredible to spend this time with you today. I hope you got something out of it. I certainly did. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Summer Series on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. And I'll see you then. Bye-bye.